Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Patriots showing an all-out pressure look. Here they come. Smith protected, hoisted to the end zone. Wide open, Tucker. Touchdown. 26 yards on a perfectly thrown pass from Smith.
High noon-ish. Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Monday, WEEI. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We've talked to Hunter Henry today. We talked to Christian Ellis today. We went around the league in what happened earlier today.
Busy, busy.
If you missed any of it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can use the rewind feature to go back to listen to anything, including Mike Vrabel this morning with the Greg Hill Show. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Drake May will be on afternoons today, talking with the guys. So keep it locked here to WEEI all day long. Unacceptable, I would say, loss for the Patriots. Keith, yesterday, the offense looked poor. The defense got shredded by Geno Smith. Turnovers, penalties, not ready to go. Week one loss, unacceptable.
Yeah, you can count maybe on one hand, and you'll have room to spare of like guys who played well, or guys who played better than you thought. And one of the things I kept harping on for the reason I was positive about the Patriots this season was the schedule was very easy. They had an easy schedule. And there you go. Week one, you're at home and you're taking on a team that is not great either. They're you know, coming off a bad year. They've made a lot of changes themselves. They have a new head coach. They have a new quarterback. They have a lot of new pieces. You know, you're the slight favorite at home. Like, this is one of the games I thought they would win. They don't. And it's also just how they looked in the second half and how the offense got worse. They only scored 10 points in the first half, so it's not like they were, like, setting this crazy pace.
No.
But they had a lead at the half. So that's another way to look at it. It's like, all right, you're up to start the second half at home, and you lose the game. And, you know, it felt like you really lost that game by two possessions. I know they kicked a field goal to try to get the onside and all that.
It was all kind of fake.
Yeah, it was. It really was at the end. And a lot of the yards that Drake May had were all pretty fake. The Raiders had that game won the final handful of possessions in the fourth quarter. But no, what stands out to me was just how the offense was so ineffective. You know, they pick up a first down, but then they throw a pick to start the second half. And then it's just punts, punt city, punt, punt, punt. There might have been a turnover on downs mixed in there, but instead they had a false start by Will Campbell, who, mixed bag. You can't say he was bad, but he certainly wasn't great. He was fine, right? We thought it could have been a lot worse going up against Max Crosby and you know, some
it could
of
have been
guys.
Worse. I think the offensive line yesterday was fine. I thought two false starts and you give up a sack.
True, no,
one of them was a strip sack that you luckily fell on top of. Like,
yeah,
I didn't think it was great out of him, but I thought overall the line gave May some time to throw.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to say they were great, but
they weren't.
I wouldn't put Drake May's poor performance all on the O line. Campbell specifically, I wanted a little more out of him, but it's his debut. I understand there's some leeway there. You mentioned the second half drives, Keith. They went 6 for 36, pick. That was with the ball to start the second half to put some distance between you and the Raiders.
Yeah, good points. Not only that, you're up three and you get the ball to start the second half.
And you did nothing on your final possession of the first half where you could have done the old double score. They did not. Mm-hmm. Next drive, 3 plays, -1 yard punt. Drive after that, 3 plays, 3 yards punt. 6 plays, 19 yards punt. 5 plays, 16 yards punt. That was one, and we can get to Vrabel on this coming up, but Vrabel after the game, and even this morning with Wiggy, was defending his thought process. They were going to go for it on 4th and 5.
Yeah.
It was 4th and 10. He decided to punt. What'd you think of that?
At that stage of the game, they had nothing going. I probably would have gone for it, honestly. I mean, at 4th and 5, I thought it was the right call. Go for it. 4th and 10.
4th and 5, you 100% go for it. 4th and 10, look, your offense wasn't getting hardly 3 yards at a time. Never mind 10 yards at a time.
Yeah.
Whether you
agree, but I just thought with the time, I'll double check the time. There wasn't a ton
was
of
about,
time.
It was about 5 minutes. 4:50 something.
Yep. So, like, you need 2 possessions. So, I don't know. At that point,
they had all their timeouts. You can agree or disagree. I would lean towards they should have gone for it. But at bare minimum, we can all agree it wasn't very aggressive from Vrabel. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree with that. And then they had their field goal drive, which was largely meaningless. at the end of the game. They have the onside kick trickle out of bounds. They lose. So, yeah, I would just say it's unacceptable. They were supposed to win that game yesterday. They were favored.
Yeah.
They are a team that I have in the playoffs, you have in the playoffs, Keith. They were favored at 11 games entering the year. I don't know how much that flipped based on what we saw in week one. You got carved up again by Geno Smith. And, yeah, none of that's acceptable. Now, we went through and projected. We're obviously great at projecting things.
So far, so good.
We both had them beating the Raiders. We also both had them losing week two at Miami.
Yeah, that looks a lot different after this performance. Although it's
currently 1.5-point dogs at Miami.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, the Patriots did not play well.
I know, but the Dolphins arguably look like the worst team in the league.
No, I know. Well, the Patriots home field gives you 3 points, 2.5, 3 points.
Maybe right there behind them. But, okay, here's what I'll say. I didn't expect them to win in Miami. That's a tough place to go, even when you had Tom Brady and rolling. That's a tough place to go, especially in September. If you win that game, then you're kind of right where we expected. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel as good about that game. Even despite how Miami looked yesterday, that's a tough place to play.
No, it's tough however you look at it because, yeah, it is one game, right? So that's always the case in the NFL. There are a lot of examples of teams looking really good week one and then falling apart, or the flip side of that also being true. But I'm trying to figure out right now what's going to give you a lot of confidence that the offense really turns things around. You know, the offense I never thought was going to be great. I thought even this year their ceiling – was like maybe they creep into like the 16, like middle of the pack offense as it relates to the rest of the NFL. This game doesn't give you a lot of confidence with that, right? It just doesn't.
No.
Like defensively, they also weren't great, right? Like I think more of the focus is on the offense as it should be. But the only thing that stopped Brock Bowers was an injury. Jacoby Myers was picking up first downs every other time. Geno Smith carved him up.
362.
Yeah.
That's the second year in a row Geno Smith has carved you up, walked into your building, and beat you. Geno Smith.
I mean, he stopped the run. I guess you'll take that.
They did stop the run. Genty didn't look great.
No, he didn't. So I guess if you want to highlight something, they did do that. They had 4 sacks and a pick. So, like, they had some moment. Oh, yeah. Harold Landry was good.
Oh, let me give you this. Phil had a good stat that he tweeted out. You tell me if these metrics line up. Yesterday, the Patriots blitzed at the third highest rate in the league, 44%. Okay? So the third highest blitz rate in the league.
Okay.
They had the fifth best sack rate. So they blitzed the third most, but they were fifth best in sacks. Okay, those kind of correlate.
That's fine. Yep.
10th best pressure rate. That's starting to slip a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
So you blitz a ton, fifth in sacks, 10th in pressure rate. They allowed the 8th worst EPA per play, which means it was a boom or bust day. Geno Smith had 9 completions of 20 plus yards yesterday.
Yeah, he completed about 70% of his passes.
If the pressure didn't get you pressured at a very high rate, you blitzed at a very high rate. If the pressure didn't get home, you were giving up big plays left and right. So maybe go back to the drawing board on that one. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it wasn't great. Now, I guess if you just look at the bare bones of it, you're like, hey, they allowed 20 points. Like, should you be able to win games when you give up 20 points? Honestly, for this offense, probably right on that line.
Yeah.
You know, you might even need to do better than that. They invested most of their money this offseason into the defense. The defense needs to be better. Like, if you're just saying the two sides, they need to be better. Also, we haven't mentioned this. You mix in a nice missed field goal. This team can't be doing that.
No, they have a type when it comes to drafting kickers.
I was already going into the season worried about him. He gives you zero confidence seeing him line up to kick. You're like, no thanks.
And a lot of people yesterday were like, they had a kicking competition, and the guy who won the competition didn't get the roster spot.
Correct.
So, yeah, this is what you get.
This could have been a game that came back to bite him. It didn't really. Although, maybe it does. If you play it out, I know there's the butterfly effects, and maybe it doesn't all go the same way, but if he makes that kick, now instead of doing the 2-possession thing at the end, like, you have an opportunity to go down and just score a touchdown.
Yeah.
I doubt they do based on the previous 40 minutes of the game, but just saying.
You guys are all jackasses predicting the Patriots to win 9-plus games. Unbelievable. That's a text line. The over-under is 8.5.
It was. So I don't know. So everybody in the over is a jackass, which is fine. We may all be.
Yeah, we might all be wrong, but like I don't think it was crazy to say they could win 9 or 10 games. Their over-under was 8.5.
Yeah.
So if you bet the under, good for you. It looks good after 1 week. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that was like a ridiculous thing to say. 617-779-7937.
Oh, yeah, take this one.
Let's go to Raider Rick in the great state of Vermont. Hello, Raider Rick.
Raider Rick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate your show. And just want to make a couple of quick points. First of all, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I'm too old to be a hater. I got a lot of respect for your franchise and the championships you've won in the last 20 years. Your team has won more championships than the Raiders have had winning records in the last 2 decades. So You're talking to the biggest Raiders fan on the East Coast, and I was thrilled with yesterday's game.
Wow.
My first point, guys, is I think the Raiders are seriously underestimated this year. I think they have a much better team, beginning with their head coach, than a lot of people have been giving them credit for. Yeah, they were a 4-win team last year, but they revamped everything, including, as you know, Tom Brady, minority owner, Pete Carroll, head coach, Super Bowl winning coach, a national championship on the college level winning coach. He's got a specific philosophy, and the Raiders have bought in. And they got Geno Smith, who's a little bit better than a journeyman quarterback. I mean, you've been saying it all morning. He carved up the Patriots for almost 400 yards in the rain yesterday. And the Patriots, I'm sorry, and the Raiders have an excellent receiving core. I mean, they've got Bowers. Everyone knows about him.
Yeah,
but they got Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer was the number one tight end draft pick the year before. They got
Raider Rick. We're losing. Bowers. I'll give you Bowers.
We're losing the thread here, Raider Rick.
I'll give you Bowers.
Okay. How about this? Jacoby Myers, right?
Yeah, how about
over 1,000 yards receiving for the first time last year when the quarterback was Minshew, for goodness sake. Now we've got Geno Smith. But my overall point is I think the Raiders are a lot better than people are giving them credit for. And going back to the Patriots.
No, there it is, Raiders.
Okay,
the Patriots lost to a much better team is what his
Raiders
subject line
good.
Said. There it is. Yeah, okay, Raiders are good.
They look pretty good. I'm not ready to say that they are good.
Did they look pretty good? They just look better than the Patriots. They
Geno
look pretty
Smith
good.
Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Bowers looked pretty good. Myers looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The defense didn't do anything crazy, but they did enough. They only allowed 13 points.
He mentioned Pete Carroll. Actually, he mentioned a lot of stuff in there, but he mentioned Pete Carroll.
Michael Mayer.
Oldest coach in the history of the league, officially, as of yesterday.
Yeah, but he's a young 85.
He doesn't look
Sick Greg, bro.
Yeah, whatever he is, 73, 74. But no, if you want to say advantage Pete Carroll or the Raiders made a better hire, Tom Brady made a better hire than you did, I'm willing to listen today.
It is kind of funny, though, if you're Robert Kraft, just thinking about that aspect of it, you're like, Pete Carroll just came in here and got a win, and Tom Brady like co-owns that team. Like, that is, talk about like life comes at you fast.
Yep.
You're like, wait a minute, we just put up a statue for this guy. The team he owns, we're supposed to beat, we don't.
Nope.
Come in here, first win ever in Gillette Stadium for the Raiders. They've never come into Gillette and won.
Wow, is that true? They've never won in this building.
No, it was one of the keys. Where the hell were you on Friday?
It was a long time ago. I already forgot.
That was one of the best keys.
It's a long weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, first win in the building. What do you know?
Yep.
Mike is in Haverhill. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing pretty great.
Good. So I just wanted to say I think you guys are outstanding. I work in the medical field overnight, and oftentimes I come home in the morning when I probably should be in bed, and I end up spending a lot more time awake listening to all three shows on EEI because I think you guys provide a great source of entertainment every day.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. That'll be a promo we'll run soon.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about yesterday's game and my overall take about the Patriots and what's going on. I think the honeymoon period with Drake May needs to be over. I know he played 8 games last year, but honestly, I think even if he started last year, I mean, I know we had Bishop in there. Look at Brady and you look at some of the other great quarterbacks and you talk about the eye test and the it factor.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever you want to say about Vrabel or the previous administration, you know, when it comes to improvising and when it comes to making plays that maybe is not like in the script or what's called on the sideline, the bottom line is when you look at someone like Drake May, how many times does he, you know, do you get the impression that, you know, he's the kind of quarterback who's going to say, guys, jump on my shoulders and I got this?
No, Mike. So let me give you a stat. And it was, he said some very nice things about the show,
yes,
Keith.
Thank you very much.
I think some of the finer points, some of the details, maybe he needs some sleep, Christian Ellis style.
Yeah, true.
He said Michael Bishop.
Yep.
He said Drake May started 8 games last year. So
12, right?
I don't think he was
13?
Completely polished up on all of his details.
All good.
But to answer his question about Drake May and the honeymoon period, we read you this stat earlier today from Boston Sports Inf on Twitter.
You're saying Nymph?
Inf.
Okay.
He is now, though, Keith, and this is important, he is now at JSGIII22661.
Why?
Somebody,
why is he at that now?
Somebody
what happened?
Somebody, quote-unquote, hacked and stole his account. It says right there in his Twitter bio.
You got to keep your head on a swivel on this
again,
Twitter.
So give him a follow at JSGIII22661.
How are we sure this is him?
How did we even know this?
Well, it's a good stat regardless.
Okay, all right, okay, good stat.
In one possession games in the second half in Drake May's career, 36 for 57, 63%.
Yep.
300 yards. So it's taken him 57 attempts to get to 300 yards. That's trash.
Yeah, yeah, not great.
One touchdown.
All right, well.
Five picks.
No, that I don't like.
Quarterback rating of 46.
Rough.
He also lost three fumbles. Easily could have been four with the one yesterday that Campbell fell on top of. Sacked seven times, minus 36 yards. In 67 pass plays. Thank you. He has eight turnovers and seven negative plays in a one-possession game in the second half in his career. So to answer his question, is that a guy who's going to put the team on his back? No.
He hasn't yet.
At least not yet. No,
he hasn't yet.
Not even close.
It could happen someday. But that day was not yesterday.
The closest he came was that game in Tennessee where he got to overtime and then went out and threw a pop fly punt of an interception.
You can text the show at any time like this. Here's an interesting stat. Drake May stinks.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Honestly, like, I'm not ready to write off Drake May.
Is this a real text? Guys, let him finish his point. You guys blow hot air out of your ass. That guy was actually awesome. Is that a criticism? We didn't let those callers go long
enough.
Which
one that spoke for 5 minutes did we not let talk about?
The opposite should be the criticism there. Not that give those guys more time.
Yikes.
Look, one was very, very complimentary of the show. The other, Bragg, is the biggest Raiders fan on the East Coast.
Raider Rick.
Don't spoil Friday.
I'm sorry. I do feel like we gave them good leeway there with their calls. And we'll continue to do that.
It's a good discussion.
At 617-779-7937 here on a Patriots Monday. Let's get more into Drake May, his performance. Why wasn't he better yesterday? Was he not ready to go? Is he just, as the text line points out, he's not very good? We'll get to that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't think it was very good, John. I think it was a continuation of what we saw in his appearances in the preseason, especially the games. He was better in the joint practices. And this is sort of, what I've been talking about for a couple weeks. I mean, if you have big plans for the Patriots this season, and I think a lot of fans do, then that includes Drake May being really good. And Drake May today was, maybe average, maybe. And I think that a lot of it is going to be a discussion about, it's going to be, well, the fans, they probably love Drake May and they're going to blame Josh McDaniels. It's probably, a little bit of both. I mean, look, if Drake May hits some of the open receivers that are out there, it's a different game.
Greg Bedard on Drake May said he was maybe average yesterday, maybe. I would say that was below average.
I'd go below average.
I think if you think that's an average Drake May game, you don't think very much of Drake May.
It's going to be a long season.
And I personally have higher hopes. I liked him a lot in his draft class a year ago. I liked some of what, not all of what we saw, but there were encouraging signs last year as a rookie, even though he turned it over too much and didn't win enough. And I had higher expectations going into yesterday's game. Now, the game plan was weird. I don't want to do what Greg is saying and pile on Josh McDaniels, because that is a way to not criticize Drake May, who I thought played poorly yesterday.
Yeah. You can do both.
You can do both.
Yeah.
It was an odd game plan, although I guess the Raiders had a similar one, where it's raining. The field, I guess, was in okay condition. Hunter Henry told us it was fine.
He did tell us that. Yeah, he did.
Good answer from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a rainy day, where you probably assumed for a run-first team, they would run it an awful lot with Stevenson and Henderson, Gibson, your Cerberus backfield.
Yeah, no doubt. Those guys didn't really show out.
No. They decided for Drake May to throw it, was it 46 times, 47 times? I got to pull up the game log here. But they had him
46 attempts.
They had him just air it out yesterday. So I don't know that McDaniels had a great plan, and May definitely didn't play well.
No.
46 attempts yesterday.
And they certainly weren't going to. I think the way the game went, and then once the Raiders put up 10 in the third quarter, then at that point, I think every time they had the ball, they were just going to chuck it. And then some of like the fake empty yards at the end of the game. Like, you see every Sunday, team losing, especially losing by two possessions, right, or more, they'll pick up a few first downs. The defense is basically playing a prevent. They're just trying not to give up a touchdown. But anyway, that's where I think a lot of the 287 ended up coming from. But no, once again, had an interception and had a fumble. And you could say, well, there, you know, Will Campbell missed his block on that. Yeah, Will Campbell also recovered the ball there, but it's just he's going to get sacked. You can't get fumbled every time you hit, right? Or you got to cut down the percentage of times. So right there, you're leaving it. You're putting the ball in a bad spot. They also got a benefit of a really kind of cheap pass interference call, which led to one of their field goals. So you almost could take 3 points off the board. Like, that was a bad call. If that call went the other way, we would have been losing our minds about it. Like, they got bailed out on a 4th-and-1 where they chucked the ball 30 yards downfield.
They also hit. Geno Smith was sacked the same amount of times as Drake May yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And he found a way to be productive. He did turn it over. He wasn't stripped. He threw for 362. He made plays.
Mm-hmm.
Your guy didn't. And you said it earlier, Keith. Going in, who would you have taken going into the game?
I would have taken Drake May over Geno Smith.
I would have taken Drake May.
I was wrong.
Coming out, that answer was incorrect.
Yeah.
Geno outplayed him again. Yeah. Or outplayed his counterpart. Last year it was Brissett.
Right.
But Geno came into Foxborough again and carved you up. So either we're way off on Geno Smith.
Possible.
Or Geno Smith is just kind of fine. Your defense makes him look great.
Right.
And your play calling and quarterback on the other side can't keep up for the second year in a row. I'd say that's not ideal. 617-779-7937. Why wasn't he better yesterday, Keith? We all had high hopes for a playoff season. And if you're going to be a playoff team, he's got to be better. We did our preseason superlatives for the Pats. We both had him as the team MVP.
Yeah.
So why wasn't he better yesterday?
I think a lot of it's on him. Like, I think the easy thing to do last year was after a bad game or specifically a loss would be, well, you know, Hunter Henry caught the pass and then handed it to the defender. Remember that play down by the goal line?
Yep.
Or, like, Alex Van Pelt was so bad that the owner's son's up in the box being like, our play calling sucks. Or, you know, Vedarian Lowe's playing left tackle. There were so many other reasons that Drake May wasn't winning games last year. Yesterday, you look at it, you're like, he's airmailing some throws. He's getting a little, like, nervous in the pocket when he actually has time. He didn't feel like he had it. And then there were other times where he would do these like weird non-committal little scrambles, like that first play of the game.
Yeah.
Where he like runs, doesn't have anything, and then slides after
1 yard. And
like,
slides.
Sweet.
I mean, I guess he didn't get himself killed, right? He didn't get a concussion.
I mean,
he didn't fumble. He didn't hurt himself.
I'm not saying like lower your shoulder like you're Earl Campbell,
no,
but just like it.
That was an awkward first offensive play.
Yeah, he
awkward.
Didn't, like whatever the opposite of like in control is, it sort of felt like, I don't know, I don't want to go as far as to say like nervous, but it just felt like didn't have a tremendous amount of confidence out there. Didn't feel like it.
No.
And is that him swimming in the playbook? Is that him being asked to do too much? Which I know some of the questions that have been asked of Vrabel today. I don't know if it's that, or maybe he's just being asked to do things that aren't necessarily his strength.
If you're being asked to do too much, meaning you need to throw it 46 times, then I agree. They asked him to do too much yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
We keep making the Herbert comp last year. Harbaugh came in. Chargers turned it around. They drafted right around where the Pats did a year ago. Mm. They turned it around in year
they
one.
Specifically did.
They were a playoff team.
Vlad McConkey.
Yeah. Oh, no. But I
they drafted like, literally where they drafted. Oh, you mean like this year?
No,
or
I mean
going into last year.
Last year, the Pats drafted third. The Chargers picked fourth or fifth, whatever. I think fifth.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they were a terrible team. Harbaugh came in and cleaned it up in year one. He's a playoff team. And they managed Herbert early in the year. And they brought him along slow, and they ran a ton. And then they put more and more on his plate as the year went along. I thought that's what we were going to see. So if that's what we're talking about, are you putting too much on Drake May's plate? Fine, yeah. I didn't expect 46 pass attempts against the effing Raiders. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Are you putting too much on his plate from a playbook standpoint?
Yeah.
Or asking him to do too much play to play? Like, I don't feel that way. And with your unimaginative, boring offense yesterday, if that's too much for Drake May, that's a problem. So I hope that just means the full volume, asking him to throw 46 times, not run at all, and putting it all on his plate from that standpoint.
Yeah.
If that's what we're talking about, I get it. If it's the playbook and the plays they're running, I don't.
Yeah, because we've seen too many quarterbacks, high-pick quarterbacks, have a lot of success right away. Like, the guy that was drafted ahead of him last year had a tremendous amount of success right away. And then sometimes, it takes into year two. Josh Allen's example of year three. But you mentioned Justin Herbert, another guy who people thought had a similar skill set to Drake May, was a house of fire his rookie year.
Yep.
The guy was incredible. So, yeah, I don't that's a weird comment, or like even to be brought up the fact that he's being asked to do too much. He's the quarterback of the team. He should be doing quite a bit, I would think.
Yeah. Knicks was terrible yesterday. Daniels
was
fine. His team won going away. Penix is pretty good.
Penix actually was pretty good.
298 and a touchdown. We're going to see two more quarterbacks from Mays Clay's class tonight.
Yeah, that's a good matchup.
Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy, so let's see. But yeah, May was probably better than Knicks. Other than that, he's been worse than the other two have gone so far.
Yeah.
And Knicks at least won. Right. Much better team around him, but right. He at least won. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Danny's in Rochester. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. I have a fairly optimistic view of what happened yesterday. Now, to be fair, this is my inaugural week one as a Pats fan. But
welcome aboard. Who were you rooting for before, Danny?
My team no longer exists. It's been about 5 years. So
the Chargers?
I spent 5 years looking. No. The Redskins. I was a Redskins fan.
They still exist.
They changed the name.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They don't. But anyway, I spent 5 years looking for a new home, and I'm comfortable here. I like this. I grew up a Red Sox fan because we didn't have a baseball team. But anyway, whatever. So there were a couple throws that Drake had that are really promising, right? He kind of always does have a couple of impressive ones. I think Will Campbell's a football player. And I see, like, this basis of an offensive philosophy coming from McDaniels that I think can grow. The one thing, like, I think momentum was difficult. If you watch Drake at UNC, he was a momentum quarterback. But
he had momentum yesterday. They had the ball to start the second half with the lead. They had momentum. They were moving. And he's the one who threw the pick.
Yeah.
There were a couple of promising throws. Adam A yesterday. If that's the most you can come out of with, you could do that with any quarterback. You used to be able to do that with Mac. Mm. Oh, he came out of a game, he lost, but there were a couple of promising throws. Like, if that's the best, and trust me, I think May's a lot better than Mac, but you could even do that with Mac Jones. So if that's the best you come out of, and I found nothing encouraging about McDaniels' offense.
No.
Out of, like, zero there.
I don't know how you can't be completely underwhelmed by Drake May and Josh McDaniels. I think Kayshon Booty had a good game. I think Kayshon Booty was good. I thought that might end. I thought Steph Diggs had a nice catch on the sideline. Like, that's kind of, those are like the superlatives for the offense.
Oh, I said I like the fake tush push too. If you want to give Josh McDaniels credit for one play, that's one play I liked from him.
Because even Will Campbell, like, there was too many negative plays to be like, he was good. The rest of the offensive line, same thing, because you could say, all right, they didn't run the ball for much, right? They ran for 3.3 yards a carry. I also look at the running back. They weren't really breaking any tackles, but they're also getting hit pretty close, right? Like, there weren't like these big holes to run through. So we thought they'd be better at run blocking than they were.
If nothing else, we thought they'd be able to run. We didn't know if that would translate to wins, but we thought they'd be able to run. That's what Campbell's better. That's what all their offensive linemen are better at. They're all better run blockers than pass blockers. And they couldn't run yesterday.
Yikes.
So what's that about?
I don't know.
617-779-7937. We'll get back to your feedback coming up. More thoughts on Mike Vrabel and his Patriots debut. Didn't feel very different from Jerod Mayo and the Patriots a year ago. At least the team we saw on balance last year, certainly week one. Mayo at least started it off with a win, unlike this guy. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick confirmed.
Oh, my God.
Everything we heard about the Patriots and their scouts not being allowed into North Carolina. You probably heard it by now, but just in case you haven't, you'll get ready for Bill Belichick's wild answer over the weekend and some thoughts on his comments next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To comment on that and provide some sort of explanation on that.
Yeah, well, no, it's clear that I'm not welcome there around their facility, and so they're not welcome in ours. Pretty simple.
That was Bill Belichick yesterday. If you didn't make that out, he goes, well, yeah, they're not allowed in our facility because I'm not allowed in theirs. Like, how else would that go?
Yeah, neener, neener, neener. Like, this is sad. A lot of it's been sad, so it's not like the newest sad thing from Bill Belichick, but this stands out, I guess, amongst a number of recent issues that he has had. But this one's so bad. This one's so petty. We know he's got a grudge, and I love grudges. But now you're penalizing all your players. And this is also, I don't think, factually correct.
I don't think so either.
Wasn't he at the facility or at Gillette Stadium for the Tom Brady night.
Correct.
So he was there for that.
Vrabel said that today. That's another kind of pot shot Vrabel's taken at Belichick. He did it last week with the Urban Meyer comment.
Yep.
He did it again today. He's like, well, I don't know. He's like, he was here for Tom Brady's ceremony, which was after he got fired. He's like, and I can tell you, when you get fired, and he said this about Bill, he's like, when you get fired, the key card doesn't work. He's like, I tried in Tennessee.
Hilarious.
So I don't know. Maybe Bill is telling the truth. Maybe there's a kernel of truth in there about how he's not allowed in the facility. I don't know. We've seen him in the stadium since he lost his job.
Correct.
And he at minimum, he confirmed everything we thought.
Yeah.
Outside of some people in the Twitch chat who still doubted if this was a real story or not. No. Now Bill has confirmed Patriot scouts are not allowed at the University of North Carolina because I'm not allowed in their building, which may or may not, probably isn't.
How many NFL facilities do you think he is allowed into? Nobody wanted him.
Seven!
If he interviewed with the Falcons, they went another direction. I'm sure they're not exactly welcoming him in there.
Yeah, good point.
So it's probably going to be more of the same. Yeah, this one's weird. Also, tough timing for him, considering the owner just said he'd put a statue up of him, like, when his career's over. And I'm not saying, like, oh, Kraft has done everything right in this whole time. By no means am I saying that.
No.
It's just this is pathetic for Bill Belichick to be like, I'm not going to let the scouts here. Like, you're really penalizing your players more than you are the Patriots. And even if the Patriots, like, okay, they don't get a look at a guy at North Carolina, not the end of the world. But for those college kids, they only have 32 potential employers. And if you're, like, eliminating one of them from getting a chance to see these guys, it's insane.
Breer was on NBC Sports Boston pregame yesterday, and he was asked about this. And he's like, look, here's how a lot of teams evaluate it. For the seniors at North Carolina right now, they have, unless they're going to transfer and jump into the portal here in the middle of their senior year, the seniors right now are the ones who are going to get the most penalized, because if you're like an undrafted late round type, if you can't get into the North Carolina facility and you can't scout these guys and talk to them and get a feel for them, they just move on to the next guy who's graded similarly. They're mm-hmm. like, is this the late round UDFA guy
definitely.
And so these
guys, how do you break a tie?
They're going to have one less team where they could potentially latch onto. And so that's all Bill's
doing. It's so crazy, because if you either stayed in North Carolina or you transferred to North Carolina, you would think you would have the best chance to become an NFL player.
You would think.
And now you for sure don't. In fact, it's the opposite. I can't think of any other
team. You have less opportunity here than anywhere else.
It's like if Ryan Day
Everywhere else, yeah. You're going to have 32 teams allowed into your building.
Right.
Not at North Carolina. Right. You have a worse chance than anywhere else
looked at. When Chip Kelly was at Ohio State, if Chip Kelly told Ryan Day, like, listen, we can't have Philadelphia or San Francisco come through here. They fired me. We can't have them through here. They'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know how well that would go over with those players? Yeah. They'd be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Why we're here is so we can go to the NFL.
Yeah. So that's it's a pathetic little answer.
It is.
And
he did get a big W, though.
He did.
He got his first win. Congratulations.
They barely covered, but they covered.
They did cover. They covered the number.
Charlotte missed a field goal where I guess they still would have covered. They would have won by 14 if Charlotte hit that field goal.
Yeah.
They ended up winning by 17, 20-3. So good job,
20
Bill.
20-3.
Never take that away that he got that first victory there. Richmond on the schedule this year, so he's scheduling.
Spiders
at a high
coming
level.
Up.
Yeah. So Bill now 1-1 at UNC and confirmed the story from a week ago that Patriot scouts were not allowed at North Carolina. Again, his logic is, well, I'm not allowed there, so they're not allowed here.
Who's going to have a better record after four games, Patriots or Tar Heels? They got a head start on you. They got a nice 1-1.
UNC might be 3-1
after
four. They should be.
They should be. I don't know.
I thought the Patriots should be 3-1, but I also had them. I had a win chalked up in week
going.
One.
Yeah, they got to get going.
My aunt, I think I'm going to answer Bill. If you ask me the whole year, my answer would be the Patriots. If you're asking me September, I think my answer is Bill.
We should stop predicting records, but they, Pats are maybe.
What's that?
Well, it's not over yet.
It's a long way to go, Keith.
It's a slower start.
As a lot of people have pointed out to me on my Twitter timeline, it's only week one. So there's a long way to go. We have a lot of time to turn this around.
16 more of these bad boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
Richmond just had their bye, but the last game they played, they lost to Lehigh.
Ooh,
so
Bill's going to bitch about that.
2 weeks, though.
Richmond's got all the time in the world to prepare for us.
2 weeks to game, and there's a lot to game plan for.
Oh, wait, they won last week. It flipped on me.
Nick.
They beat Wofford.
Flipped on you?
Yeah, for some reason.
What does that mean?
The schedule's backwards on this computer for some reason.
Awesome.
That's what it is.
Awesome.
There you go. It flipped on you.
I have a backwards. You get the reverse Paul Brown.
The one that they played last week is the first one when it shouldn't. That's not sure it should be the case.
So they beat Wofford, though.
They beat Wofford 14-10.
I just want to get that accurate.
And there's Nick with your Richmond Spiders update here on WEEI.
Nick at the spider desk. Okay, let's go to the phones. Dave is in New Bedford. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
So maybe we should thank Bill after the way that May played yesterday, that he's not going to allow us to look at any of the UNC players anymore, just because this was not a surprise. He played nothing in the preseason, like everybody's been saying. I really wasn't shocked that he came out and looked the way that he did. The really shocking thing for me was Vrabel not going for it on the fourth down. Even though they got the penalty and it went down to 4th and 10, they're still down 2 possessions. And I don't understand why he didn't go for it.
So 4th and 10. I understand why he didn't.
4th and 10, the way the offense was going is tough.
I understand it. Like to say he doesn't understand it, I think he just means he disagrees. I understand that it's 4th and 10. You don't think your offense is going to pick it up. I get it. It wasn't aggressive. But Vrabel's not an aggressive coach. Vrabel, offensively, Vrabel is not an aggressive coach. They threw way more than I thought yesterday. They're going to be run first and conservative. That's what Vrabel is. So he's not an aggressive coach. Just get ready for more of that this year.
Yeah. So it was 4:53 left in the game. So you're under 5 minutes and you're down by 10. 4th and 5, who knows what they would have cooked up. Knowing McDaniels, they might have chucked it 40 yards deep and prayed for a pass interference.
Just would have been a run right up the middle.
That's true. Maybe like a nice draw to Stevenson.
Catch him off guard.
Yeah, maybe something like that. 4th and 10, though, I think just the way it was going and trying to figure out the time at that point, like, are you going to get 2 possessions? And I don't know, maybe just hope that the defense can come up with something. I know they hadn't stopped them. Well, they held them to field goals the previous 2 possessions, right? But if you do that again, I guess you still have a similar situation.
I think the point about the preseason is fair. And we were all very critical. May didn't play more against Minnesota. That's not a second guess. That was a first guess real time.
Yeah.
We thought he was going to play like the whole half against Minnesota. He played a couple of series, and he looked bad there. When we saw him in preseason, he didn't look great against Washington or Minnesota. I guess he was better in the joint practices, or at least 2 of the 3 joint practices he was better. But Vrabel ran a light camp. He didn't play his first team offense enough in the preseason. Those are not second guesses. We talked about that as it was coming along. And this is what you get in week 1, a team that looked overmatched and not ready to go. So, yeah, I'd connect the dots on those 2 for sure. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. Let's stick with Mike Vrabel and how we're feeling about him after 1 week. We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.